Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asks. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
I'm sure that as Nicodemus was making his way home after this conversation that seemed so ethereal and so complex, words kept resonating in his mind. As I spent time thinking and reading and praying through this text, the words that Jesus says over and over again just keep coming back to me too. The very first words Jesus says when Nicodemus came to him in that moment, in that space, wherever it was that night, is, "I tell you the truth." Three times in this little moment, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." A Pharisee with an inquiring mind wants to know what's true, what's going on. How could this be of God? Answer my questions, Jesus. Justify yourself. And the first words Jesus says, knowing what's in his heart and mind, is, "I tell you the truth." Listen carefully, fellow believers who've had a chance to listen in on this little scene where Jesus meets Nicodemus. The first thing he said when he said to Nicodemus is, "I tell you the truth." "Yes, I expected you to tell me the truth, Jesus. After all, this is all about truth. This place, this time that we're in, this is a moment when we think about what really happened, how true it was that our people were in slavery in Egypt, and God in his mercy pulled us out of there with miracles that were true, and to this day we testify to them. We were born as a nation. We were born as a people to find our space on this earth at this moment." "Oh, Nicodemus, put away all the things you've been thinking about all day long. It's true. That's true. But the truth is, you must be born not just as a people, not just as a human group, not just as a race, not just as a nation. You have to be born from above. Not from below as God pulls you up out of whatever you were in before." Yes, the first point is you must be born from above, not from below. I met Joel several years ago. He had grown up his whole life in the Methodist Church, had knew all the prayers, memorized the Lord's Prayer, knew the creed, went through his confirmation class just like our young students are about to start their journey. And he went all the way through, but it was always just a collection of things that you did and you said on Sunday mornings when you went to church. And then one day, when he was about 35, he found himself invited to a renewal retreat. And while he was there, he heard speakers talk about what it means to be born from above. He thought, well, I'm confirmed, I believe in Jesus, but suddenly he felt in his heart that something wasn't fully finished. He felt that this life-giving spirit that he knew so well was not really at work in him. And he heard the words about how he could be born from above, how Jesus could come and send his spirit into him, and he would have a life that was filled with joy and not anxiety, with peace and not fear, with assurance and not doubt every time he heard another idea that sounded like a legitimate religious truth but didn't sound at all like what he knew before. And it's true. He found that he needed to be born from above. That kept resonating in his mind. And he fast-forwarded for a moment, Nicodemus did, to the second time Jesus said the word, I tell you the truth. Verse 5. No one enters the kingdom unless born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it came from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There is a way of living that isn't based on what happens on the ground. There's a way of living that's based on what happens above you in the air where the Spirit is at work, in your heart and mind where the Spirit is at work. Last week after the service was over, I was chatting with one of our brothers, Stephen Southwell. Please come up here if you would. And he said something that I said, Stephen, that's so awesome. You're telling me about something that you did that wasn't what you expected because you had made a plan on earth to do something that needed to be done. What was the original plan? What were you working on that 2 weeks ago or so?
Okay. We had our cars, our vehicles. We had an accident and one of our cars was clipped and written off.
Totally.
So, but before I say that, I'd like to say that in my prayers, I don't really pray for material things. Because, mm-hmm. praise God, I'm a basic, and we have the basic that we actually, compared with others and I've seen in parts of the world, I think we are rich. But materially speaking, but I don't ask for things materially, normally. I ask the Lord to give me strength, and self-control. I ask for patience, for the ability to love like the love of 1 Corinthians 13.
But at this time, you needed a real car with wheels.
But I needed
that
a real
car. That was an earthly
thing. An earthly thing. So I said, Lord, we looked for a car. So my youngest son, he was driving it. So we contacted a guy who had this car for sale. We went. And it was the same car that we had, but in better condition.
Okay.
So the guy says, okay, so we agreed. So we got money and we had to go to the bank.
So you were going to come back and buy this
and
car.
Come back and buy the car.
Okay.
And on the way back to get the car, the following day, the guy texts my son, Brett, and he says, I've sold the car. So we were very disappointed. And but we said, both myself and Brett, that it's okay. The Lord is in control of this. Mm. So like all things. So just hold on. And lo and behold, the next day we saw another car, but it was an upgrade. It was less mileage, far better condition. It's superior. One day I'll drive it here and you'll see. and everything, it's the guy really cared for this car. And so the Lord led us, I believe it is my sincere belief, that God led us to this because he knew he works all things for good for them that love him, mm-hmm. and he gives us his best. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
What I love about your story, Stephen, is that you had a plan, but yet you were praying at the same time, and then suddenly the plan fell apart. Rather than curse the guy for lying to you, naturally felt upset. But your word to your family was, you know, God is in charge here. There's a spirit movement that's taking place, and God aligns things. And indeed, it turned out to be something even better than what that jerk was going to give you in the first place. Indeed, praise the Lord. There's something about, you can go sit down, brother. There's something about the way in which we not just are born of the Spirit, but we choose to live and operate in the Spirit. Jesus says, truly I say to you, yes, you must be born of the Spirit, but you will also live in the Spirit. You'll find that the wind blows. You'll find that suddenly you're over here when you expected to be over here. The wind moves all the time. You can't guess when it comes across your yard which direction it's going to go next. So it is, Jesus says, with the Spirit. He's always at work. And sometimes he'll turn you to the left, sometimes to the right. But always when you're attentive and you have that mind that God was orchestrating this, there's a sense of peace. There's a sense of certainty that I am, in fact, allowing myself to be carried along by the Spirit and not just trying to tune in one or two days a week or maybe for 20 minutes during my devotional period each day. The Spirit moves all the time. I can imagine that in Nicodemus' mind, as he walked back to his home that night, he was thinking about the wind, a symbol of how God is always at work, how God can be at work in his life, in my life, in your life, and the life of this community. But Jesus said it one more time. I tell you the truth, Nicodemus. How do you expect to understand the earthly things you see me doing, like turning over tables and scattering coins? How do you expect to see the earthly things I'm doing, like watching people be healed or changed in their heart and mind in the moment? If you can't accept that, how will you accept the things that God has done all along, the things that God will do now? How do you know you're capable of taking in the truth that God has for you? You call yourself a teacher. How ironic. How ironic. Nicodemus had come to Jesus and said, Rabbi, teacher, we know you're from God because look at what happens when you talk. God is behind it. And now Jesus says to Nicodemus, teacher, what are you not seeing here? God is at work and behind it. He is. God is behind this. There's so many things I have to learn about this world and about the heavenly realm. There's so much I have to learn about how God is working, how he's consistently working, and putting together all the pieces of what he's already done. Even Nicodemus, who studied this since he was a small boy, sometimes says, I don't fully understand what's going on here, but I'm going to get myself in a place where I can learn. Even if I'm exhausted because I have so many things going on in my life, there doesn't seem like any more space to hear what God is doing. I'm going to make time for that. Thank you for those of you who came to Sunday school this morning because you showed up early and said, I don't care how tired I am and how nice it is to sleep in on Sunday morning. I want to learn the things of God. I want to get myself to knowing this. I'm going to give myself to this place where the words of God are shared and where I can gain from it. Because as I do, I'll learn not just the way God has already worked on earth, but the way heaven is already moving on earth and how to anticipate it as it comes. I tell you the truth. The more you learn of God, the more full, the more clear, the more wise your life will become. The more you'll be able to anticipate and operate out of wisdom and peace and assurance that God is moving in and around and through you, the more you'll be able to impart that to others as well. But Nicodemus, if you don't make time to learn about these things, how are you going to learn the heavenly things? And then Jesus points out this very bizarre story that we never really talk much about because it's so weird. The time in the desert when the people were whining and complaining about what they didn't have. And God was so tired of this song that never ended. Verse number 87. Oh God, why did you take us out of Egypt to die in the desert? We're so hungry. And so God sent snakes, venomous snakes, into the camp. And as they realized just how vulnerable they really were without God's protection, they fled to Moses and said, "Help us! Pray for us! We're going to die! We've been bitten by poisonous snakes!" And God said, "Put one of the snakes and bronze it up on a pole. And everyone who looks up on the pole will be healed from the poison." Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that grotesque image of a snake bronzed and then put up on a pole, if you put a snake on a pole, it's going to fall off. It doesn't have anything you can stick it with unless you skew it. Maybe there was a cross pole. Maybe the snake wrapped around the cross pole to hold it up. And if that's the case, then here you have the symbol of the animal in Eden that started this whole mess, like we just heard read a few minutes ago. Bronzed and dead on top of a cross. And if you think it through, sin, dead on a cross. Look up! And you'll be rescued from the poison in your life. Maybe like Nicodemus, it just suddenly became clear to you. Maybe suddenly you see this bizarre story like you've never seen it before, because Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. It's like this. You've been venomized by your whining, by your concern about the things of this world, and I let them bite you. But all you got to do is look up at what I've destroyed and what I create through death and how you can be healed of the poison. Look to the cross." Jesus has just said, and maybe Nicodemus heard it earlier that day in the temple when he cleared it, "The Son of Man must be lifted up. And when he is lifted up, he will draw to himself all people." Therein is hope. Therein is life. Oh, maybe Nicodemus didn't catch that until he was almost to his door after talking to Jesus, going back home again. That's what it meant. That's what this is about. Clearly, John, who wrote the gospel, figured it out. He said, "Just as Moses raised a pole in the wilderness, so God has raised up this Jesus that all who look to him can be healed from the poison in their lives and can live going on in the desert no matter what comes. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth." What is the truth for you today? What is the truth for me today? What is the Spirit telling us about the way it is and the things we see in the earth and the things we long to see in the heaven? Maybe for you it's the first truth that Jesus shared. Maybe it's I can be born from above. God can impart heavenly life into me that doesn't get destroyed, not even by death. Maybe you've never done that before, in spite of everything you know about this tradition, or everything you've ever thought was true about Christianity and what it meant to be a good person. Maybe the Spirit is saying to you, "I long to enter into you and birth you again. Birth you for your eternal destiny." Or maybe it's the second truth that Nicodemus got laid on him, that I've got to figure out how to move in the Spirit and not just operate based on my schedule and my responsibilities and my checkbook and my obligations and my family commitments. No, maybe it's about learning to walk and move in the Spirit every day, whether I'm at work or home or in the neighborhood or even arguing with my spouse. Maybe that's the truth I need today. Or maybe the truth you need is the third one Jesus laid out. You need to learn more. You need to make sure you understand the whole story. You need to get to a place where you can grow and you can hear the scriptures read and you can hear the testimonies of others, and all of it will start to come together in your mind, and you will see how God is at work in you, around you, in the past, in the present, even into your own future. Maybe you need to give yourself to discipleship. Maybe you need to invest yourself in making space to grow in God. If you don't make space for it, it's not going to happen. The other side of the insert in your bulletin talks about this. Take it up if you would. If you've got it there, I hope you do. It says, well, where did I put mine? I used it just a minute ago with the children. Teens, catechumens. Well, anyway, you can see it. Oh, thank you, sister. I appreciate that. Racing to help your pastor. It says, my investment in discipleship. The Lord invites all to come, just like Nicodemus did, and learn. Even if it's a scheduled inconvenience and you've worked so hard all day, we invite you to learn and grow in our church family. Which of the following discipleship ministries will you invest in, engage with? Check a box. Signing your name below, especially if this third truth Jesus lays out is the one the Spirit's calling you about. We will invite you to bring this completed card to the altar table as your faith commitment near the conclusion, oh, that would be now, of today's service. Would you take a minute, look at these, and ask, God, I'm ready. I'm ready like Nicodemus to come even out of my hurried schedule and the important business I have to do as a member of the ruling council. I will get to where you are. I want to hear what you have to say, what you've done, what you're doing now, what you could do in the future. Maybe it will be in a Sunday school class. Maybe it will be in the Fall Ladies Bible Study. I don't know. Maybe it will be in the men's breakfast. Yeah, those are gender specific. You get the idea. I will attend a special training seminar as it becomes available, and there are some options. Those are one-time shot classes, and I'll certainly keep you in mind if you feel you're ready to listen to the Spirit tell you this. Or maybe I will mentor and encourage youth as a sponsor in that ministry during the year ahead. Or maybe I will serve in children's ministry as an assistant in classes and special events. Because you see, children learn from you by your being in their presence, in their midst, just like we all do. Whether you have formal teaching training or not, everything we do is teaching those who come behind us. Every way we live and move and talk and prioritize our lives teaches our children what's really true. I ask you to take a moment and check one of those. If you're ready to respond to the Lord in that way, and then write or print your name there. And as we're going to sing our final song in worship today, I invite you to don't be shy. Just bring and set on the table as this is the table of our Lord, and you make a commitment to Him and place that there. And that way you'll know and will know what you have said. I will make space in my life for this year. I will learn the ways of God. I will be like Nicodemus. I will search out the Master. I will make time to learn not just the earthly things, the heavenly things. Well, as our musicians are coming, there's a prayer of commitment at the bottom of the sheet there. And just before we sing, I'm going to ask that we can pray this together. Let it be our response, our openness, to take truth with us, to seek Jesus going with us, even from our worship space today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, teach me your ways. I want to learn true and heavenly things. Increase my understanding. Give me a heart of wisdom, for you are the great teacher who reveals the ways of the Spirit now and forever. Amen.